Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call of Saregama India Limited, hosted by JM Financial Institutional Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Eksha Modi from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Pooja. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Q4 FY25 earnings conference call of Saregama India Limited. First of all, I would like to thank the management of Saregama India Limited for giving us the opportunity to host this call. From the management team, we have Mr. Vikram Mehra, Managing Director, Mr. Pankaj Chaturvedi, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anand Kumar, Group Head Investor Relations, and Mr. Pankaj Kedia, Vice President Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Vikram Mehra for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and a very good morning to everyone. Financial year 25 saw our highest annual revenue of 1,171 crore, which is 46% growth over financial year 24. Also, our highest EBITDA of 356 crore, which is 18% growth over financial year 24. And a PBT of 276 crore, which is 2% higher than last year. Our investment on content this year was 316 crore, which was 62% higher than that of in financial year 24. All of this is in sync with the strategy shared with all of you guys over the last few quarters, wherein we want to future-proof our company through aggressive new IP purchase, but at the same time hedge our risk by diversifying our IP portfolio across music, live events, long format video, short format video, and management of the content creators. The other big highlight of the year for us was that our digital footprint across YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook grew from 239 million as of last year to 350 million during the year. That's a massive growth right now by any yardstick. Coming to the quarter, this quarter saw operating revenue of 241 crore and a PBT of 81.6 crore. Let me start as always with the music business, which comprises of music licensing and artist management. This vertical remained flattish on a year-on-year basis during the quarter, primarily because of Wings shutting down. We had no revenue coming from our platform during this quarter. But if we see the numbers on a full year basis, music revenues grew by close to 13%, which is lower than the previous year. But the big area of decline was primarily on account of closure of Wink and movement of Gaana and Hungama from a free service to a fully paid service. But the good news was that this fall was countered by increase in revenue coming from paid subscription and also from the YouTube premium channels. In fact, for us, the revenue made from paid OTT and YouTube services grew by a very high double-digit percentage. But remember, the base is still very, very small. In the next few quarters, we believe paid subscription to become the single biggest growth driver for Saregama. So yes, there has been a lot of pain over the last few quarters with multiple services shutting down, whether it was Resso shutting down earlier, now Hungama has shut down, Wink has shut down, Gaana has gone behind the paywall. All this has been given short-term pain to us because our monies that were coming from the free services have stopped coming. But in the long run, it's a very healthy sign for the industry's growth. On the publishing side of the business, the revenues continue to grow. Every major web show in India, from Ashram Season 4 on Amazon MX Player to a Kapil Sharma Season 3 and 4 on Netflix, or the IPL opening ceremony on Star, or it was whether big movies like Salman starrer Sikandar or Balayak starrer Telugu movie Daku Maharaj, they all have one thing in common. They have taken a license for a Sarigama song in the show. Even brands like Tata Motors, who came with this massive Tata Kirby campaign during IPL using the song Toba Toba, or Dream 11 or Mobile One, they all used the songs in this quarter. Our focus on keeping our catalog relevant is growing practically every quarter onwards. We have a dedicated team whose only role is to maximize the revenue that is coming from the older content of ours. We continue with the strategy of future-proofing this company by investing in newer content. The last 12 months have been the most aggressive from Sarigama's side in terms of new content release. We spent close to 300 crore on new content alone and its marketing. Most of our albums are charting at top position across various languages. All this can be easily verified through YouTube or Spotify charts. We have 10 songs released in financial year 25 that have crossed the 100 million views mark on YouTube. This is just songs released over the last 12 months, 10 of them are sitting in the 100 million club. An album like Istri 2 has crossed 3.1 billion streams across YouTube and OTT in less than a year. That tells you that if you get a good album and you market it correctly, there is a lot of revenue potential that is sitting in there. This quarter saw release of two very popular songs which have been chartbusters. One is Premalu from a Telugu movie Quote, and second is Arijit Singh's Tu Hai To Main Hu from Akshay Kumar's movie Sky Force. The company continued to maintain its leadership position across Gujarati and Bhojpuri languages. We have also opened our content acquisition now in Uriya and Chhattisgarhi languages. If we see the track record in financial year 25, we have the best hit rate ratio. Yes, some of that is fate. I won't run away from it. But I give a lot of credit to our database acquisition approach that we people have been able to instill within the system. This is good predictive models that are allowing us to buy the right content at the right pricing. This year, we also ended up acquiring 22 small music labels across 7 languages, with who controlled 2,800 songs. These are all low-profile, under-the-radar acquisitions, typically in languages where we are not very strong, these relatively more smaller languages of the country. This costed us close to 17 crore, and we believe all this is going to further strengthen our position as we go forward. Our lineup for the next 12 months is all in place, where we have music from some of the biggest films that are going to get released this year. Let me start with in this quarter, one of the most highly anticipated film is a Tamil film called Thug Life, which has got Kamala Hassan and Mani Ratnam coming together after many, many years, along with A.R. Rahman's music. We then have Dharma's Tu Meri, Main Tera, Tu Meri, which is a Kartik Aaryan movie. We also have Dharma's Sarzameen. We have Sanjay Leela Bhansali's Love and War. We have Telugu superstar Nani's Paradise and Hit 3. We have Ranveer Singh's Dhurandhar. Tamil superstar Dhanush Idlikadai. Another massive star of Tamil called Surya's Vadivasal. And Shiva Karthikeyan's Parashakti. And I'm just giving you the names of some of the bigger titles. Similarly, there are huge titles which are sitting in, whether it's Darshan's Devil in Kannada, and similar big titles sitting out there in Malayalam too. South was and continues to remain a huge focus area for us, while we keep on strengthening our position on the Hindi side too. As I've been sharing with you right now for over in few quarters, the next few years will be the period during which we will invest in content in very heavy fashion to once again get ourselves back into the number one position that we used to enjoy a few decades back. We will buy big and we will buy smart. This year, the charge-off on account of new content was 48% higher than last year. We are in a transitional state currently where our new content expenses are going up in a step fashion. Because if you see the chart which has been shared in our presentation, it will show you right now how steeply our content acquisition budgets are going up. Since the expenses are going up in a step fashion, the incremental revenue from the expenses are just about matching the charge-off that we are taking. As we move to the later part of financial year 26, you will start seeing the impact right now that the increase in revenue will also start having a direct impact on the profitability. At the beginning of the year, I had stated this, that during the next, this is as of April 24, I had said it will take us till for the next 6 to 7 quarters, the top line is going to grow rapidly, the EBITDA is going to follow, but not that rapidly, and PBT will be growing at a slower rate. And the moment we come from to the 7th or the 8th quarter, PBT will also start moving at a much faster pace for the simple reason that the content that we would have taken by that time will start having a revenue which is higher than the charge-off that we will be accounting for. With all this investment in new content, we maintain our guidance of 5-year payback period. And after the 5-back period is over, you have another 55 to 75 years of reaping profits. Artist management, the newer vertical under music monetization. When artists are made popular through our IP releases, and then we monetize these artists by booking them for live events, weddings, and brand endorsements, from which Saregama gets a share. As our investment in new content goes up, these artists are going to become bigger and bigger. With digital advertising growing at 17% per annum, we believe that the artists and the influencer economy will be the biggest beneficiary. I'll give you an example of how we people are now using our power of content creation to go and make our artists bigger. Our artist Mahi sang for the movie Nadaniya and also sang for the Hotstar show Hai Junoon. Well, Pragati is the lead actress in our own show called AFK. She has also sang for Hai Junoon show, which is on Jio Hotstar. Three of our talent, Viraj Gilani, Arjun and Pragati, are also appearing in a comedy film produced by us called Party Animals. During the year, we added Samyukta Hegde, a prominent Kannada artist with 1.3 million followers, and Karan Sonavane with 1.4 million followers as part of our influencer management program. And you will be seeing more and more content coming with these people. Viraj is a great example, is an artist who is managed by us. We are doing live shows also with Viraj, and we are now also doing digital content creation, both from which are funded by brands and are put on YouTube, also shows that can be licensed out to digital platforms like Netflix and Amazon. Overall, with a stated goal of acquiring 25 to 30% of all new music released in India, the music licensing vertical should double its revenue in next 3 to 3.5 years. And all this acquisition that we are doing will be funded through QIP and internal accruals. Now let me shift to the video vertical, where we make films under the brand name Yoodlee, digital series under brand name Dice, and short format content under the brand name FilterCopy. The most exciting thing for us in this category always remains the massive growth in smartphone ownership, which is turning every device, our TV, into the hands of every individual in this country. And if you see, anybody who in this country is free even for 5 minutes is consuming some form of content or other, and we want to be in the center of it. We are still at a very early stage of building this vertical. We expect over the next 5 years this vertical to keep on growing at a CAGR of 25%. We released multiple series during this quarter, Agra Affairs on Amazon MX Player, Oops Up Kya on Jio Hotstar, a branded series High Heels on YouTube where L'Oreal was our advertiser. We also released a small Telugu film called Dilruba. Our TV series on Sun TV continue to perform very, very well. Video vertical, we are still trying to find a way. What we are clear about video vertical is we will try multiple things, try all things at a smaller budget. If we have to fail, we'll fail fast, but we'll fail small so that we can keep on correcting our mistakes and come out with a strategy that is expected to work. Financial year 25 was also a little difficult because most of the digital platforms that used to license our content were in a state of flux. There was a merger going on between two of the biggest platforms. The third one had a change of leadership. So we saw right now not enough amount of licensing was happening. We believe financial year 26 is going to be far better. Let me move to the live events piece. As promised, after a very successful Diljit tour in the last quarter, that we will now continue building on the live events vertical. We believe this is a vertical which has got a serious amount of leg in the days to come. During the quarter, we did successful shows of Viraj Ghelani and Sachinder Sartaaj. Later this year, starting from Q1, we have shows planned with Himesh Reshammiya. We have shows of Viraj Ghelani. We have next round of disco dancer shows coming in. We also have a kids series, live series, Say Cheese Grandpa. And we are also planning a two-day music festival in southern part of the country. While Diljit's India Tour success may not get repeated in every quarter, the success of that tour has proved to us the long-term potential of the live events vertical. It's no-brainer that as the disposable incomes in the country goes up, the discretionary spends are going to go up. And one of the big beneficiary of increase in discretionary spend world over always has been experienced entertainment. People like to go out there and enjoy themselves along with their friends and family. Keeping that in mind, we will continue to keep on experimenting and scaling the live events business in future. This year saw the transition of Carvaan from being a hardcore retail store-driven product to now practically, for all practical purposes, 100% e-commerce-driven product. We are selling it from the big digital platform and some of the modern retail outlets only. We have scaled down our product portfolio and the entire infrastructure that we had built to support the Carvaan business. The manpower that was supporting Carvaan has been brought down from over 100 plus at the beginning of year to under 25 as we reach here. We still believe in this product. We believe this product has legs there as long as we are managing it at a cost structure that makes sense. We will continue pushing it on e-commerce and we are fairly certain that we will start touching single middle digit margins by the end of financial year 26. Our long-term strategy of diversifying from just being a music label to an entertainment IP company is paying off. It not only reduces over-dependence on any word and vertical, but is allowing us to drive massive cost and revenue synergies across all the verticals. Between financial year 25 to 27, we committed to invest over 1,000 crores in new music content. Of this content, content worth close to 525-530 crores are already secured. This will contribute not only to the immediate growth, but also put the company on a long-term growth path. We believe music verticals comprising of licensing and artist management to grow at 22 to 23% per annum over the medium term. At the overall company level, we expect PBT to double over the next 3 to 4 years. Both music and video verticals are going to contribute to that. We maintain our annual adjusted EBITDA guidance of 32 to 33%. There may be a blip here and there on the quarter because if a big event number is coming in, but overall, keeping in mind that we are in music, video, as well as live events business, we are holding on to our EBITDA guidance of 32 to 33%. PBT numbers, which are on the lower side for this financial year, will start moving up by Q3, Q4 of this year, of the financial year 26. We are all, as a company, extremely bullish on the way that digital economy is panning out. We are very happy with the processes and the data-driven approach that we have been able to go back and build in Saregama, which makes the company not only very strong on IP, but also in a way independent of individual dependence. The basic infrastructure of processes and data will ensure that the company is going to survive and become and recover back to number one position in the days to come. Thank you and open to questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My first question is on revenue. So revenue was weak this time versus very strong growth in earlier quarters. So if you could tell us in FY26, how we should build in terms of offer model for each of the revenue items. Was there any one-off which led to revenue decline this time?
No, so remember, please don't compare us quarter four with quarter three. Quarter three had one-off revenue of the Diljit tour that had got factored in. Otherwise, if you look at an overall basis, if you look at the year-wise basis, financial year 25 is a 42% or 46% growth over year financial year 24. So I don't think revenue growth has been an issue right now in this particular year.
No, Q4 YOY I'm saying. Q4 YOY. It is down 8%.
Always, I think we have stated this to you in specific and by and large, the entire investment community, please look at our business on a 12-month rolling basis. You cannot look at a business on a quarterly basis. It just does not work that way. I'm not saying look at me on a financial year basis, but please look at us right now on a 12-month rolling basis. The quarterly seasonality and the way a movie's release gets pushed, so the music revenue starts getting pushed, or the film revenue itself starts getting pushed, a live event getting pushed from one quarter to the second quarter, this is a way of life for us. One small event in the environment right now and everything starts getting pushed. So please look at us on a 12-month basis, and I think we had a very decent financial year 25. But as we people go forward, the music licensing business of ours is going to be growing at 22 to 23% on a midterm basis. The video business of ours is going to be growing at 25% per year on a medium-term basis.
So there was no one-off in Q4. I do understand that it's a longer-term horizon. But in terms of pushing off, was there any particular reason? Because anyway, we are comparing Q4 to Q4. There will be a calendar, right? For a 3-month, there will be a calendar.
No, I understand. But every time, this is an old question that are coming in, there may have been an event right now which would have got the revenues overflows from a OTT platform may have come in a particular quarter in one financial year and may not come in the same quarter in the next financial year. Right? Society overflows are also functioning that way. It's not in our hand. The publishing societies who give monies to us, they decide their own cycle, and sometimes a large amount of money comes in Q3, sometimes it comes in Q4. So you can't compare in the real sense right now, quarter to quarter. It's better to look at our data always on a rolling 12-month basis.
Sure. Last quick question. Recently, we saw one movie on the last day move from cinema theater to OTT. Could you tell us in terms of Hindi movies or say even for the regional, is there any churn which is happening in terms of theater versus OTT, any thinking which is again coming back? This was there in the COVID, but suddenly last week that development geopolitical seemed very quick for such a drastic action. So is there something more behind that? Because you are a veteran in that industry. Your thoughts on that?
Firstly, let me just inform you right now that the said movie you're talking about has once again decided to come in theaters. So that deal is done. So they are coming back into theaters. See, this is, and as a music label, when I look at it, we have enough protection in an agreement that if a movie decides to move from a theater release to an OTT release, we get a suitable amount of adjustments in the fee that we are paying to a film producer. So but this part that this debate is ongoing at this juncture that will people be going to theaters to watch a movie? But just look at the success of the movies that are doing well, whether it were Istri 2 or a Chhaava, or you find both are 500 crore plus movies that are working on. Let's wait which way Thug Life in South is going to go back and work. If you look at Hindi's Raid 2, or Good, Bad and Ugly that came in Tamil recently, all of them are 100, will touch between 100 to 150 crore. So there are still, if there are good movies, people are still very happy to come to the theater. Remember, for all of us, and even more if you are living in non-Bombay, Delhi, Bangalore, Calcutta, what does a person do to entertain himself along with his or her family? Going out to have a burger at a mall is a great thing, but you can't do it every weekend. Sometimes you need a change, and movie theater provides this massive amount of change for any family. So that's why, in general, we believe that theater economy is still very much there to stay, but the kind of movies that will do well in theater may undergo some amount of change.
So understood. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Swapnil Potdukhe from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the one-off impact that you mentioned in your opening remarks with respect to closure of Wing, Kana, Reso, etc. Just wanted to get a sense as to when exactly should we expect these closures to come into our base. Because if I'm not wrong, Wing closed in July sometime. Kana was a bit earlier, if I'm not wrong. So just getting a sense as to the time as to where this one-offs will not be an impact on our music revenues going ahead.
Answer two ways, two parts here. Is one, am I understanding we closed in November, not in July. So this is the first quarter that we people had without any revenues coming from there. So let me restate our position. Sad as we are that some of these free streaming platforms are shutting down, but truly speaking, in a way, we are very relieved that because we know free streaming is not the way this industry can get built. Globally, every market after market, from a US to a China to any of the European countries or even some of the LATAM countries, the music industry is built on the back of paid subscription on streaming. There are over 700 million people who are paying for some form of audio streaming on some platform or other. We believe that with less number of players available, you will see the transition happening rapidly in India also. We are already seeing the green shoots, as I mentioned in my opening statement, that the revenue that Sarigama makes from paid subscription part of the streaming platforms has grown by very high double-digit percentage during the year. So if I'm not a betting man, but if I have to put my neck out, I'll say 4-5 quarters, you will see paid subscription really taking off. And as mentioned in the past, the yield that we all get, entire industry, not just Sarigama, all of us, the yield that we will get for one song heard and the paid subscription is far higher than the yield we get on the free side. So yes, there is a short-term pain that is being inflicted on us, but I think this is the right thing to happen right now for paid economy to take.
Okay. Vikram, just on that paid subscription thing, right? What would be the revenue share in your music from the subscriptions today? And secondly, yeah, sorry.
So music share or subscription, sorry, rephrase your question so that I'm, what was your question?
My question is very simple. What would be the share of paid subscription in your music business today?
I will not be able to share that right now because that's all confidential data. I'll be going and violating all my agreements. What I can tell you that if I have a subscription deal going on with their platform, on an average, the platform shares 50% of whatever they make. So if there's a platform X who are making 100 rupees net in a month, on an average, they will share 50 bucks, what is called as a content pool. This money gets divided equally amongst all the songs into the number of times the songs are heard during the month.
Okay. And so the question would then be, given that you are still maintaining your medium-term guidance on the music revenues, will this paid subscriptions revenue be able to offset any impact of these closures, which will still be there in your base, right, for FY26 at least, some part of that?
Yeah.
Will they be able to come?
When I've given the guidance of 22 to 23% growth in our music business, that is not dependent on subscription taking off. This is an impact of the growth in the digital economy and the increase in the market share that Saregama is able to drive. As in when the subscription takes off in an aggressive in a fashion, the numbers are going to be far higher than this. Answer to your second question out here is, are we confident that the growth numbers are going to be higher in the music side this year, financial year 26, compared to 25? Yes, we are.
Okay. And so that would also mean that your YouTube revenues in your music would have gone up meaningfully, right? If I'm not wrong, digital used to contribute around 70% of your total revenue, music revenues. And digital, of that, roughly, yeah.
Digital contributes around that number. Digital includes all the streaming, audio streaming platforms, video streaming platforms, and short format apps. Overall, digital is around that number of 70%.
Right. So, and YouTube used to be around 33 to 35%.
I've never listened to this, so please don't put words in my mouth.
No, but intuitively, that number would have only gone up, right, from YouTube revenues.
In my opinion, that YouTube revenues grew for us, and that was to a large extent able to help neutralize, because overall revenues are still, music revenues have gone up by 13% during the year. The big help came from subscription, which has a small base going up substantially, growing substantially, and YouTube numbers doing pretty well for us. I've given you, Istri 2 is an exception, I understand that part. But still, Istri 2, 3.1 billion numbers have all come during this financial year. It was released in the month of August, I think first song hit in July or somewhere. And we have done 3.1 billion. There are music labels whose total number of streams during the year become 3.1 billion, which is the single album has done.
Got it. And just one question. So you mentioned that you have acquired a significantly high amount of content this year, roughly around 300 plus crores. But at the same time, we are not seeing our music revenues growing in a way, right? This year particularly, obviously, there were some one-offs and that is there. But does that also mean that the payback period for any content that you have acquired already may go maybe longer than 5 years than the typical that we typically have, right? Most of your revenue savings come in the first year.
We are holding on to a guidance of 5 years payback period and are very confident of that. If and when we people start realizing at any time that the sources of revenue are coming down, so does the cost of acquisition.
Got it. And just the last one on the Carvaan side. So obviously the revenues are some meaningfully down because of changing the strategy there. Any sense on what kind of profitability was there in the business in FY24 and where are we in FY25 right now?
So all I can say is Carvaan at best in a quarter was just doing a break-even. With these all these new changes that have been brought in, which is rationalizing the manpower, rationalizing the number of SKUs that we people are putting in, and getting out of the mom-and-pop retail outlets, which also meant there was a lot of distribution expenses. With all these actions that we have taken, we believe that Carvaan in financial year 26 should start coming back to the mid-single-digit margin percentages.
Oh, got it. Thanks a lot, Vikram, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Patel from 361 AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, Vikram and the team. Thanks for the opportunity. So just one question. Is it possible to quantify, if we exclude the impact of Wink shutting down, what could have been the music revenue growth in this quarter?
No, I can't give you specific. Then I'm giving you my, what was the deal value of my Wink. So that will be a wrong.
What is it? Can you it? I missed it, sorry.
But the revenue would have been decent right now. So let me put it this way. Again, please don't look at us ever on a quarter basis. Our industry is in a fashion, in a way right now that you need to look at us on a 12-month rolling basis. Reward us, punish us, but always do it on a 12-month rolling basis.
Sure.
Because the way the practices of the industry are, the monies that we end up getting, they are not timed right now to a particular month at any for any of the our partners. So
understood. Vikram, the idea was to just understand that excluding these shutdowns, no, how is the organic growth? Is it progressing?
So let me answer the question in a different fashion. We people have been managing this 22-23% growth on a music licensing business right now on a steady fashion over the last 6-7 years now. And I'm holding on that guidance as we people go forward. And this is irrespective of subscription taking off in a very big fashion. We believe subscription, if it continues to grow at the rate it's growing today, which is when two of the big platforms, Spotify and Jio, are still offering free service. Keeping that in mind, our projection is 22-23%, which tells you we are fairly confident the impact may be happening right now in the short term here and there. But on a medium term basis, we believe there's a very healthy growth potential which is sitting in.
Sure. And is it like you've given a good outlook on the shift to the paid subscription-based, but over next 1 year, do you think sometime during next 12 months would be the inflection point for this paid as a catalyst, taking off? Or is it a more like a couple of years journey?
Repeat myself out here. It's difficult to take a punt on this, but yes, from whatever conversations we are having right now, because there are only two free guys left in the market now. One of them is world's biggest streaming platform, which world over drives only paid subscription. Free is not their model. And other is India's biggest conglomerate. So if you see this year, IPL was also put behind the paywall. So I have no reasons to believe that these guys will continue doling out free services, because financially it does not make sense for them also. So yes, whether it will be 4 quarters, 5 quarters, I don't know. But it is that horizon in which I believe that the subscription economy should start taking off.
Got it. Thanks a lot, Vikram, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kavish Parekh from B&K Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, Vikram. Thanks for the opportunity. Vikram, could you share some more details about the exceptional gain that you've recorded? What changed in the outlook for Pocket Aces, and what is the new valuation?
So, hi, Kavish. Pankaj this side. I'll just take that question.
Sure.
Yeah. So, when we acquired Pocket Aces for about 51% stake, we recorded 100% liability in our books because it was a committed transaction, right? So, based on the valuation and estimates, we recorded a liability. We also did a purchase price allocation and recorded a goodwill to that effect. Now, when we have acquired the remaining 40%, 40 point something, and we also need to acquire the remaining 8-9%, we have reassessed the liability. There is a write-back of liability on account of the lesser consideration, and there is a corresponding impact on account of reduction in goodwill. The net impact of this entire amount is about 4.9 crores. Which is shown as an exception item, not arising from business. Having said that, there is a third element to it. The contractual liability that we have, as a part of accounting standards, we record at a discounted value, at a net present value. So there is a notional finance cost of about 4.1 crores, but that is sitting in my finance cost line item, above the exception item. If I just put all this together, the total impact of these three items is about 0.8 crores plus on the overall P&L. Operationally, I would say if you kind of want to still adjust this 0.8 crores, our PBT would be about 275 crores. So this is an accounting adjustment. We still are very bullish on Pocket Aces. It is just on account of, a prudent and conservative accounting policy that we reassess our liabilities and valuation, so that it gets reflected correctly in our balance sheet.
Understood. Thanks for that, Pankaj. Thanks for the detailed explanation. On Pocket Aces, following up, so FY24 had witnessed a 12-odd% decline in terms of revenues for Pocket Aces. How did revenues go in FY25? And did you manage to break even? And is there any timeline for acquiring the balance 10%?
So let me try to answer the first two things. The good news is Pocket Aces is back onto their growth path. So we have close to 18% growth that we have been able to go and register in Pocket Aces across the year. The losses have come down in Pocket Aces. Where I'm going to confess is we have not been able to get them to break even at this juncture. We're still a little off break even, but the losses have come down drastically compared to what they were. Sometime in the middle of this year, we hope right now that we will end up achieving the break even number also. And the remaining stake we are looking at right now, there's very limited amount left here. Over the next 12 to 15 months, this should also go up. So apart from the ESOPs, which are sitting right now with the senior executives there, everything else is going to be picked up by us.
Understood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, team.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. A few questions from my side. So firstly, on the EBIT margin, when I look in the music vertical, which
you know, your voice, you may have to ask yourself, your voice is breaking.
No, there is some disturbance, Harsh.
Yeah, one second. Yeah, is it audible now?
Yeah, better.
Yeah, so basically what I was asking is on the EBIT margin in the music vertical, right, which we kind of include the Carvaan part also. So what we observe that the EBIT margin are at multi-quarter high. So basically what I wanted to understand here is it a function of, in addition to the reduction in losses in the Carvaan business, anything else which has kind of contributed to the higher profitability in the music vertical? Meaning, has there been any sort of rationalization that has happened even on the music vertical, I mean, excluding the retail part?
No, so, because you're trying to derive the profitability by removing Carvaan without knowing Carvaan's profitability. So yes, the Carvaan numbers are, take them as the break-even numbers only that are sitting in here. What you're also going to see right now, two trends. One, if you see the numbers that we are showing a very decent growth right now at the EBITDA level also. That's one good part. Second, the royalty expenses, if you see on the overall basis, you're going to see the number coming down. In spite of the music revenue going up, because all the newer content that we people are picking up, if it is non-Hindi film content, it is all royalty-free music, because it's only one-time payment. If it is Hindi film content, the newer content, the royalty payouts have not started yet. They will happen only if once you people recover, which is typically a five-year payback cycle. But as people keep on growing these revenues more and more substantially, yes, the profitability profile of music licensing will continue improving, because apart from content, the only other cost that sits in out here is either manpower cost or the tech cost that we people are putting in. Both of them don't jump up right now linearly along with the revenue.
Okay, so basically what you're indicating is, it is a case of basically the scale.
You're again thinking.
Sorry to interrupt, Harsh. Your voice is breaking. Maybe request.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Is it audible right now?
Yes,
sir. Yeah. So what I'm asking is that the improvement in margin that we are seeing here, so basically it is more to do with scale, right?
So listen, when you are talking about improvement in margin, please look at everything on a financial year basis or 12-month basis. Please don't read anything on a quarter basis. Margins don't change quarter on quarter. It's all the same thing which I have repeated, I think, 3-4 times earlier. I'll again reiterate. Please read us on 12-month rolling basis. Evaluate our performance only on a 12-month rolling basis. I don't think, I'll be honest out here, I don't think the benefits of scale have started accruing to us yet. I don't even see at this moment our music licensing margins going up that dramatically, and they're not expected to grow up that dramatically. You will see start seeing improvement on the music revenue, music margins of ours, which is licensing plus artist management, as we start hitting the end of this financial year, because that's the time the charge off on account of the new music is going to be far lower than the benefits of last 2 years content acquisitions revenue. Have I made my point?
Yeah, got it. Secondly, when I look at the inventory number on the balance sheet, is the understanding correct that this time around for the full year, we might have purchased less number of Hindi songs? Because when I look at the intangible, that has increased much faster than the inventory number.
Harsh, your call is breaking so much.
First, the breakup between Hindi and non-Hindi largely remains same. See, it depends on what period or what point of time during the financial year you make a purchase. It also, if I can answer that question, because when you're looking at intangible, you're looking at the carrying cost.
Hmm.
Yeah, if you can repeat, what is the exact question on intangibles?
No, so basically what I was trying to understand that for FY25, is it a case that we have acquired more of non-Hindi songs?
Not really, Harsh. The ratio remains more or less similar. It may not be exact from year to year basis. But
okay.
The market behaves in a certain way and we follow the market.
So there is a strategic shift right now, Harsh, if I can answer your question. We are not making any strategic shift. It may so happen on the phasing of the movies. Some movies release on time, some movies get delayed. So you may get this feeling at times. But overall, we are very, very bullish on the regional side. Within regional, on the film side, the South market is a big focus area for us. On the non-film side, we are focusing a lot on languages like Bhojpuri, Bengali, Chhattisgarhi, Odia, Gujarati, Marathi, and Punjabi, Haryanvi. Those are the languages we people are attacking. We are considering Rajasthani also as a potential area we want to get ourselves into. Hindi film, we are making slower steps. The good thing for us is, if you look at calendar year 24's key, two biggest albums of Hindi both belong to us. So we are getting it right, and hopefully getting it right at the appropriate pricing.
Got it. And one last question from my side. So on the video segment, right? So you did mention that we are in the early stages of kind of developing this vertical. But the profitability, I understand that we are in the early stages, we've been kind of underwhelming, and definitely certain lessons we would have learned, right, as to how we want to kind of build this vertical. So if you could highlight what is going to drive the profitability, or maybe what steps would you be taking, to ensure that we don't borrow money or even if it's small in number, but we know kind of grow profitably going forward.
So we will be... All I can say is when we started the video vertical, our only concept at that time was direct to digital small budget films. From that time to now, where we are saying that we will make theatrical films but only at a smaller budget. These are not micro budget but the smaller budget theatrical films. To acquiring pocket aces, which gives us a huge expertise in the shorter format content, to high quality youth oriented digital content that goes on YouTube or to platforms like Amazon Mini or Amazon MX Player or a Netflix or a Jio Hotstar. We have also moved a lot, and each of these verticals is evaluated both on the basis of their ability to grow as well as their margin profile and the kind of engagement we are able to bring with the target segment that we people are after. So you will see that experimentation. All I can say is, a year back, when we were having this conversation, similar call, somebody asked me the same question on live events, saying, why are you doing live events? Live events doesn't make money. Today, nobody has asked me this question because live events have started making money. So give us time. We are not geniuses that we will get everything right the first time. We are approaching there. You are not seeing our losses ever going to be that big, because we experiment a lot. We fail, but we fail fast and we fail small to get our strategy in place. So video is a focus market for us. We will never do this all guns blaring approach out there in video. We will experiment and we will turn it profitable.
Got it. Got it. So demerger, anything possible in terms of demerger on cars or something like that?
This is all speculative right now. Let's go to the business right now.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jyoti Singh from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, Raja, you mentioned on the revenue side, so given the recent decline in revenue from the event business, so can you share how marquee shows such as Cap Mania and That's So Viraj are expected to revive momentum in this segment? And are there any measurable KPIs or target you are aiming for? And second question on the regional language side, like we are a lot of focus on the Bhojpuri and other Gujarati language, but they still contribute only a small portion to the overall revenue. So can you provide insight on it?
Ma'am, firstly, did you see a decline in the events revenue?
Compared to earlier quarter at now,
ma'am,
sir.
I'm repeating for your sake, sixth time in this call. Please evaluate us on a 12-month rolling basis. You cannot do business like events cannot be seen on a quarterly basis. Most of the events in this country happen in the Diwali wala time frame, right? Other times, right, the number of events start coming down. Please, I'm requesting you. Everything you read, your question is valid. How will we maintain the growth momentum? I'll answer that. But please don't look at these things right now on a quarter-to-quarter basis. It will never work out. Going ahead on the events part, yes, we believe in events a lot. What Diljit's success has gone back and taught us that if we get a good artist and we put up a very good show there, we market it correctly, Indian customers are looking for opportunities like that to go out with their friends and families, and they're ready to spend money. We are exploring possibilities of working on both artist-driven shows like Himesh Reshammiya, and there are other artists also. Last quarter we did something with Sazinder Sartaj. So we are constantly looking at which all artists can we go out there and work with. Also do IP shows like get Disco Dancer, the musical, get Seji's Grandpa, a kids-based musical, also launch the first music festival from our side. So there is constant work which is happening. The very nature of the live events business is that the capital gets locked in it for a very, very short duration. So the best case scenario is high single digit margin, but a very high IRR. So you will see investment happening our side throughout. Also, all the artists that we people have as part of our artist management vertical, we'll try to plug them in also right now in some of these live events, because in that case, we get a double benefit. We get benefits on the live event as well as the artist profile goes up and we can make more money under the artist management vertical of ours. So that's the first question. Second question, I lost track.
Yeah. So second question basically on the regional side. So there's a strong focus on Bhojpuri and other regional languages, but they still contribute a small portion to the overall mix.
So it may contribute small portion on the revenue, but it also contributes even smaller portion on cost. We at this juncture, again, I'm not a betting man. I don't want to take bets right now that a particular language will become bigger compared to the other ones. What we are seeing right now is more and more of us as Indians are now finally appreciating and enjoying our local culture, our local music, our local movies. So regional consumption of content in regional languages is going up substantially. Languages like Bhojpuri is second or the third largest spoken language in the country. We believe it's a large enough market. Once you do content in Bhojpuri, you talk to Eastern UP, Bihar, parts of West Bengal, Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand. And you're also getting into northern part of MP, parts of Bombay, Bangalore, Delhi. That's the audience that is sitting in there. Similarly, Gujarati, one of the highest disposable and discretionary spends community. We believe even if on the overall pie, this number may be smaller, but it's a profitable pie, and why should we let go of that?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Lokesh Manik from Valium Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to the team. The first question was on the music vertical. We had a content charge of about 85 crores last year, FY24. Ideally, we ought to have seen the music revenue increase by that much at the minimum. And given that, you know, your past commentary that the listener is platform agnostic, that is, if one platform shuts down, he'll go to another platform and listen to the music. Given these two scenarios, you know, is Wing shutting down the only reason that we are seeing a flattish growth on the music side?
That's your primary reason. You're right. Customers do switch, but there's always that much amount of a lag between a service shutting down and the customer from that service moving across to the second service. Also, there's a role of minimum guarantees that starts happening out here. So the net impact is there, but has the industry been able to absorb the closure of a service like a Resso? Yes, we all have been able to, but Resso has been shut now for over, 15, 16 months, and that does not even factor in anywhere in the overall revenues for the industry. So, that's a short-term impact that we people have gone out there and seen. Had the impact of... last year, I had Gaana on a pay side. Gaana became a completely on the free side. Wink Impact was sitting in out there. Had that not been there, we would have been back right now on the track of what we have been able to do for so many years, and we are committed to be doing, starting once again right number financial year 26.
Got it. My second question, Vikram, was on video. Prior to Pocket Aces, we were at about 115 crores in 23. 157 and 24, but that had some, you know, impact of Pocket Aces. But if I add the three verticals, that is the web series, that is the TV, the Roja series on Sun TV, and the third is now the Pocket Aces, the revenue seems to be subdued in that sense. So which vertical would you say would have gone down or not grown this year?
Sure.
That is one. Second is just continuing on this. Since we are still figuring out our strategy in this area, and we've still not seen any, you know, synergistic effect on music from this vertical. So becoming, you know, profitably PBT positive in the next 2 years, you know, what factors are giving you that confidence?
Okay, so let me first answer your second part. I don't know where did you arrive at that there's no synergy going in. We have seen a massive amount of positive impact that we people have got on the music side, in terms of our ability to acquire content when we are competing with the existing number one. Go to a film producer and have a chat with the producer and explain to them the power that a channel like a filter copy ends up giving us, or our ability on influencer side also, that we will be able to use this 315 million digital footprint to go back and promote the new film that the producer is getting in. That gives us a big edge in terms of acquiring newer content. Something I think we people maybe not giving enough credit to. We are just in this business of acquiring new music content right now, last 2-3 years only, and every big banner of this country, and if you start seeing the biggest movies that are coming in, if it is a man unless there's a funding, somebody is producing, if a music label is producing a movie, then it's a different issue. Everywhere else right now, all music is coming to us. So I think that's a huge benefit that Filter Copy ended up giving us. But answer to your first question, which vertical is not doing it, it's a fair assessment. The vertical right now where we people were licensing shows to digital platforms, like Netflix or Amazon Mini or Amazon Max, MX Player or Z5 or a Jio Hotstar, yes, that vertical was under pressure because there was a very little amount of licensed content that was being acquired by these platforms. We already seeing trends here now that the merger has gone through between the top two guys. The other people are also started opening up once again in terms of going and licensing content. You will see numbers going up right now on the series side too.
Any threat on from the oversupply situation? There was an article today in Economic Times which said there's an oversupply of content in the industry today. Producers are, you know, sitting with a lot of unsold inventory. So any threat on that front do you see, or this is just temporary?
Let me first answer from Sarigama perspective. We don't create content unless we have a destination platform, to give you comfort. Right. We, any of that series content that we people are creating, we do it only and only if a platform has given a green light for that. Otherwise, we don't go ahead. So even if there is an issue at times that happens in terms of oversupply, we won't be caught in that here because we have pre-agreements going on. But yes, you were right, because there was so little acquisition that was going on in the last 15 months. Because of this merger, change in management, there is this feeling right now that there is some of the content producers take punts, they create content, and then after that go back and license it. They may have content which is unsold, but as a policy, Sarigama doesn't, we never do this. We know that if we produce content and then sell it, our margins will be higher, but there we play safer there. We create content only and only if we have platform greenlighting it.
Like, because on the question of profitability, you know, given we are still figuring out the strategy in this segment, just some thoughts on that.
There is the films business. There is the longer format content which is sitting in. In the longer format content, you create content out there for digital platforms, you create content for TV channels, and you also create content for AVOD platforms like YouTube, but you get brands involved in it rather than a platform paying you money. And then there's a short format content that you're sitting on, which goes on channels like Instagram and YouTube Shorts. Again, brands start coming in, but there is also a phenomena which is starting up right now called micro series. So there are various kind of models out there. We are experimenting with all those models. What gives me a lot of comfort is that we have been able to get enough reputation in the market, which can be reflected by the revenue numbers that we people are showing. Just because the video revenue numbers of Sarigama are under the music part, if you start comparing them right now with the revenue on a consistent basis, some of the bigger production houses are writing out here, we are right there. What we are also very, very clear, we are not going to indulge in these one high-profile film, which is make it or break it. That's not the business model that we are building in our system. We are more comfortable with sustainable kind of a models right now where there is not too much of over dependence on any one video asset of ours.
Right. And last one on the events, the 300 crores in FY25, is this a one-off or do we expect growth from here? So events can do 400, 500, 26, 27?
Unfortunately, these kind of, India has never seen this kind of event happening before.
Exactly, yes.
And as a company, we don't want to get into events whereby maybe the top line will be there, but the margins with us will be 1 and 2%. We prefer doing businesses out here, which are because at the end of the day, beyond a point, top line is there only to go back and support the bottom line. So that's a model that we are constantly looking at. Right now, the focus is more on working with the Indian artists and releasing our own IP shows, but we are also seriously looking at that can, in a profitable fashion, we also start getting some of the international artists here.
So any guidance here for FY25, 6 or 7?
Too early, not on the event side.
Too early, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Thank you so much, Vikram. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Akshay Jogani from Exponent Tribe. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm sorry if this question is repeated. I joined it too late. But last year, am I audible? Hi, Vikram. Am I audible?
You're audible, but your voice was not coming out very clear. So,
is it better now?
Better now.
Perfect. I may be asking as a repeat, I joined a little late, but I just wanted to check that last year the largest paid platform took a material price cut on a per stream basis, right? Went from 10 paisa to 5 paise. So now, do you expect that to further go down? What are the negotiations like this year? And should we assume that the new pricing is the base that will not further collapse or the growth from here will be volume driven?
I can't visual deals between us and any individual player. In general, our guidance is clear out here is that we are holding on to a medium-term guidance of our music business growing at 22 to 23%. So there is no question of collapsing happening at all. Second, the dependence of the Sarigama in specific and music in Indian music industry in general on free is coming down. We believe right now it's a matter of another 4 to 5 quarters that you will see all of us growing in tandem right now on the back of growth in on the subscription side. The good news on the subscription side is that even in case of Sarigama, the revenue that Sarigama made on a small base, but the revenue growth that Sarigama has seen on the subscription side is very high double digit percentages this year. So we believe that digitization and more Indian customer realizing that for digital content they have to go out there and pay will ensure that subscription actually takes off in next 4 to 5 quarters.
Yeah. So Vikram, when we speak to OTTs, they explicitly tell us that our gross margins are 10% or less and across the board versus Spotify globally has a much higher gross margin. So we need to get to that, and if that has to happen then the music labels have to sort of wait before they can grow. Is that something that we need to worry about? Because I think one of the reasons our growth has been slower is that shift in sort of the OTT expectations also, right? In terms of them not having to lose more money.
So I'll not ask you which OTT platforms you are quoting here, but there are only two OTT platforms which have a free service left in this country. The rest of the people who are offering free are anyway shut down. And the other guys are all behind a paywall. Out of the two guys who are offering the free service, one is the world's biggest OTT platform whose entire business model is built only on subscription. They are not built on free part of the business. The second is India's biggest conglomerate who have kept, who after the recent merger in their two media companies have been started putting almost all their content behind a paywall. So I like to believe that both of them are equally motivated to go out there and start driving the subscription part of the business. Anyway, I believe that's the only sustainable form in music which will ensure right now that the platforms as well as labels and the content creators in terms of artists and film producers all can make a livelihood. A free-based business is a very short-term part out here where beyond a point, one of the three of the partners is going to collapse. So yes, all this is great news for subscription coming out there maybe faster than we expect.
Yeah, but as a follow-up on this is that Spotify also recently launched a self-serve ad platform, right? I mean, which kind of indicates that they think that ads is also a way with which they can work, right? I mean, you think that slows down subscription for India?
Listen, again, you're getting into very specific. I will not talk about a specific platform. But in general, these platforms also, both these platforms, which are free platforms, have seen a very decent growth on a very small base. That I'm putting that rider out here. But
yeah,
very decent growth on the subscription side. All our conversations with them, right now that they are very serious about growing and driving the subscription part. Let me go out and play the devil's advocate. What's the worst part? That it's not a subscription-based business. They run an advertising-based business. Our model is similar with them. If they can sustain a massive advertising-driven business the way YouTube does today, we are okay right now because we get the same share of money from advertising in that case. The only thing that cannot work is that a free business is going on where the platform makes no money and labels are getting some amount of money. That's not a sustainable business. So we believe right now that platforms will take a call. I believe things are going to be moving towards subscription side. You may have a belief on the advertising side. Both ways, we get a share on an average 50% of whatever they make.
Sure. No, that's helpful. Thank you so much. And that's the fact.
Thank you. We will take our next question from the line of Aman Singh from Profit Gates Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, our music licensing business, X of Artist Management and the Carvaan business has grown just 3-4% for the full year FY25, while the comparable peer has reported 27-28% growth in the similar line of business. So can you help me understand the variance here?
See, there is no business. You are cutting a line right now where the line doesn't exist. The way our music business is being built right now, primarily the entire non-film music business of ours is being built on the back of artist management. We don't, in our system right now, when we look at the profitability analysis, it's not done that songs ne kitna banaya or artists ne kitna banaya. Both the things go hand in hand. We are taking bets on artists who are signed onto us, putting money on those people and trying to make money from the same artists. Not just the songs that the artist has made, but also use the songs to make the artist make money from him. So if you're going to be slicing and dicing it in a way that we don't run the business, it will be difficult for me to answer that question. Please look at this business right now always on a complete basis, which is music means licensing plus artist management. The artist who creates content and the content, they both go hand in hand here.
A clarification. So we had a good hit rate in this financial year, while we have invested in content acquisition also. So the licensing business should have grown. So as you report in PPT and your investor presentation and the segmental reporting, we can get the music licensing business, tax of artist management and Karma. So that has not shown the growth that I was asking.
Sir, I understand. You are now, later you can go back and say, why has Gujarati non-film business from a particular artist not grown? Becomes difficult right now. Business is not run that way. So you please, when you look at the music business, our business is only the film music business. It's just licensing. The non-film business, which is a large part of our music business right now, is completely connected to the artist management piece. Let me repeat what I try to explain to you is, if I am creating a new song, the team that is creating the new song is also responsible for identifying the artist, and they are then evaluated basis the money that the song made on streaming platforms or a YouTube or other digital platforms, and also the money that the artist has made because of the song from a brand or a live event. So these, globally also, these two things are completely tied to each other. So please,
right,
look at us. Strategically, that's the approach we are following. We are not following the approach of just being a film music label.
Right, sir. So this is helpful. Secondly, on Dice Media, shared the outlook on profitability in next year, mid of next year. Can you also share what was the investment in content cost for FY25 and outlook for FY26, specifically for Dice Media?
Sir, it's not Dice Media. I think you're talking about Pocket Aces. Dice Media is a different
Pocket Aces, right.
So the only thing is, at the liberty I am out here to say right now, last year we people grew by 17%. We have not been able to reach the... We have cut down our last losses a lot, but we are still little away right now, from a break-even. This year, we will achieve a break-even while continuing to grow at a rate right now. Hopefully, we should be upwards of 20%. On specific segments of theirs right now, they're all part of the larger Saregama company. Saregama company music business is going to be growing at 23%, while video business is going to be growing at 25%. On a medium-term basis.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, we will take this as our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Mehra for closing comments.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. I'm very happy right now with the quality of questions and the level of interest I have seen. We as a company, when we look at our India, we look at 750 million to 800 million people with a smartphone in their hands. If we start counting some of the other parts of the world where music that is coming from India or the video content coming from India is consumed, you're looking at a huge number of, you're close to 1.8 to 2 billion people who consume our content. This makes us very excited about how rosy the future is going to be. We want to be the primary content company that fulfills every platform that is going out there and talking to these consumers who want to consume Indian native content, whether it's in form of any form of audio or video or a live experience. the company is making all the investments on the content side, on the infrastructure side and technology side to keep itself as fit and profitable and in the number one position 25 years from now onwards also. Thank you and seek all the blessings. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial Institution Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.